Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And it is time now for our Life in 5 chat. It's our weekly interview where we talk to someone about their life, the ups and downs, and how they might have seen God work in it all. And we have an eclectic mix of people joining us each and every week. And they do it by answering 5 questions they choose from a short list. In studio, I have our Life in 5 guest this morning, Sister Breed McKenna. Good morning, Sister Breed. How are you doing?
Good morning, Victoria. I'm very well.
Well, you're back home, and I know you spend a lot of your time travelling all over the world. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from outside Newry, and I entered the convent, of course, my Catholic nun, when I was very young. And at 17, I got stricken with crippling rheumatoid arthritis, which was going to... I spent a lot of time in Belfast in a hospital, and I also, you know, was told there was nothing they could do for me, put me in plaster on my feet at 18, and I spent 2 years with these plasters. And then somebody suggested to me that Florida was wonderful, the sunlight would be great for me. And so I left, and I volunteered to go to Florida, to America. It was the worst place. Wasn't true what they told me, not for arthritic patients. But when I was 23, I was miraculously healed instantaneously. And my doctor was a Presbyterian man, a lovely Christian man, and he cried when he saw. And that was the beginning of my own life, in the sense of afterwards I had no medication. I received what I didn't really want was this call to a ministry of worldwide praying for healing and really preaching the gospel. And now... 45 years later, I'm 50 years in America. I have been with Father Kevin Scanlon, a Catholic priest. We worked in about 125 countries worldwide, in stadiums and in all kinds of situations, which is the surprise of the Lord.
You didn't expect that to happen. I think if you were speaking to yourself 50 years ago, would you have thought, Sister Breed, you'd be where you are now?
No, because I entered an order that at the time was semi-cloistered, and I didn't want to travel, and I loved home, and I was very much, you know, I want to be a nun, but I certainly didn't think. And people said to me, oh, it must be wonderful. Well, it's wonderful because it does give me an opportunity to meet people of all walks of life, of all faiths, in all countries, from the Middle East to Africa, Asia, Australia, all of them. And deep down, we all have the same needs and the desire for peace and happiness. And
no matter where you go in the world. Well, we better get into your questions then, Sister Breed. Yes. So your first question today is how God helps you in your work.
God helps me in my work through my relationship with Jesus, with the Lord. I spend lots of time in prayer. I have never gotten up to speak without spending at least 2 hours. Because for me... You know, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not, you know, what I do is proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think if you're selling a product, you have to be convinced. And my conviction comes from my relationship with the person I speak about and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I have had wonderful opportunities to stand up in front of like 300 and thousands and television and radio. And people say, oh, and priests, I work with clergy all over the world. But I say the greatest preparation is to know Jesus and spend time in prayer.
What about question number 2 now is a time you heard something clear from God?
Yes, I would have to say that I've had many experiences of the Lord, but one that I will always remember was the time that I got my religious vocation. I didn't at the time know, but as I moved into my life, I realized it was God. I lost my mother very suddenly on Christmas Day when I was a young girl. And that night I was desperate. And I'm the only girl, 4 brothers. And I heard a voice, very clear, saying in the midst of my tears on Christmas Day, Breach, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And the next morning I knew that I was going to give my life to Jesus. And people said, oh, she's young, it's not. And it never left me. And now, 57 years later, I still have the same zeal. And then another time was when I had a very bad eye, and I the doctors told me I drank too much tea or caffeine, and there was nothing could be done. And I was winking, and I work with men, and I went to Jesus and I said, "Listen, I'm fed up with this eye. I pray for healing for everybody else. Lord, help me." And I heard clearly in my heart, "Go see a neurologist." And the neurologist revealed to me, she said, "Are you medical?" I said, "No." She said, "How did you know to come to you? Because it's impossible, because of what you have." And what I had was inside my brain, a fusion of a blood vessel and a nerve. And I had an operation and brain surgery, and I was healed.
So no more winking.
No more winking. Left me.
You talked a little bit about your own miracle in terms of being healed. Have you seen other miracles throughout your work?
Yes, I have. I've seen absolutely wonderful miracles, both spiritual and physical. I've seen a little boy who, right in front of me in Africa, who was carried by his parents from his village because he was paralysed in the waist down. And I was preaching about Jesus. And for us as Catholics, I was talking to the Catholic Church with thousands in it. And this, I didn't know this little boy was paralysed. And when Father Kevin was blessing the people, and I was saying, you know, ask Jesus because he's alive, he's resurrected. And this child stood up and he started walking around, but in Africa nobody takes any notice. But his uncle was a priest on the altar and he's looking at him, and two missionary sisters came in afterwards and said, "Come out." And the villagers were dancing around with the child in front of the big crucifix and tabernacle, and he walked out. And as a result of that miracle, we went back to Kenya and went all through Kenya giving Eucharistic. So that's one. But I wrote a book called Miracles Do Happen, so there's lots of miracles.
There's lots of you've got to see so many over the years.
Yes.
A testing time in your life, sister.
A testing time was when I caught a terrible virus, and I got meningitis, and they couldn't diagnose what was wrong with me. I couldn't walk. And this is only about 10 years ago, and it's very easy to tell people who are sick, "Oh, pray." But during that time, I went to the best clinics and nobody could find, until one doctor who wouldn't have been recognised as very famous listened to a child that I had as now a doctor. She said, "Something's wrong with Sister Breach, and that nobody's telling her, and she's losing the power of her legs and arms. Isn't there anything?" And when we described it, she said, "I know what you have. I can give you treatment, but you'll have this virus for 3 years." And for 3 years, I had it. And I used to sit for hours in prayer. I had to cancel trips to Indonesia, all over. But it was a learning experience, you know. Victoria, suffering happens to everybody. So it was a testing time. But after it, all I can say is that in the midst of my pain and suffering, I learned miracles, doctors and medicine all work for the glory of God, because they all helped me.
Incredible story, I have to say. What about a person who had a big influence on you?
Yes, I've had many influences. Father Kevin, that I worked with as a priest, but one of the outstanding ones was, I was privileged to be very close to the former King of Belgium, King Baudouin. And I went there way back in the early 80s. And King Baudouin was a very loved king, because he was king not just for Catholics or just Catholic, but for all God's people, for all the people in the kingdom. But he had a very strong faith in his commitment to God. And he always said to me, "Oh, pray, because I know that I'm going to be tested one day. How deep is my faith?" Because it's easy to have faith and talk about your faith in God and Jesus until the test comes. And then where are you? Well, it came up, I think it was 91 or 92, that the beginning of, you know, introducing abortion, changing the legislation, you know, putting abortion into their constitution. And King Baudouin was asked to sign as the head of state. And he said, "No, I'm not doing it." And they said to him, "But you're the king, and you're representing the people who want, and the people, and this." And he said, "No." He said, and he looked right at them, and he was telling me afterwards, he said, "I could feel the strength, because yet I looked at them and said, yesterday that was in our country, that was murder. Today I'll sign it, and it's going to be all right." He said, "For me, I'm a king, but I'm only an earthly king. I too will stand before the king. And so he abdicated. And as he's walking back from the palace to the palace, his wife, of course, was on her knees praying for him because she knew that neither of them, while they had no children themselves, they were very pro for children, love children. She couldn't. She had many miscarriages. But she, he said that when he walked back, there was a painting that was presented to him by a very famous Belgian artist who, for some reason, he never opened it because, you know, they get a lot of gifts and things, everything. Yeah. And so that night, as he's walking back, not knowing, like, you know, the, a lot of people said, oh, well, it is a cop-out for him not to sign. No, he abdicated. He said, I may never go back on the throne, but it's not the most important thing. It, that's not what life's about. So when he's walking back, he felt a kind of an urge. So he took this beautifully wrapped paper and he pulled it off. And as he pulled it off, there were four faces. Elizabeth and Mary at the visitation from the Bible, where they meet each other and the two children in their wombs. And they were transparent. You could see John in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, and Jesus. And John had his hands held up as if looking at Jesus. And as the king looked at it, he said, the four faces turned around. Now, he's this from first hand from to me. He's the four faces said, thank you. The 3 days later, the government was thrown into such chaos because they loved this king, even the people who wanted the legislation changed. And so they made an excuse to get him back. And they said his father, Leopold, was imprisoned by the Germans so they could change the constitution because he was physically imprisoned. This man is imprisoned to his conscience. So we're going to return him to the throne, but he will not have to sign it. And he said to me, he said, I know that God gave me the opportunity. And from that time until he died, two or three years later, I'll tell you, Victoria, he was such an influence. The people who were avidly against, you know, not signing, came to him afterwards and kept thanking. And he said he got thousands of letters thanking him from people who had no faith, nothing, who said, you're a man of principle. You have the courage to stand for your convictions. And he said, That's what I would say today for all of us, because, you know, our issues that are coming up are not Catholic, but they're human rights. And that's what he said. He said, this is a human rights issue and I have to stand.
Wow, what a man of courage and principle. Yes. We really don't see that much nowadays. In fact, we're kind of told to keep our conscience out of politics most of the time.
Yes, yeah, but how can you?
Scary part thought, isn't it? It's been fantastic to talk to you, Sister Breach. Listen, it's been just great hearing a little bit about your life and your travels all over the world. And you said you're 50 years, sister?
51 years in America.
51
years in
America.
I'm 58 years in the convent.
58 years in the convent. Would you recommend it?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't change. I would, everything that's going on. Because, you know, who has the opportunities I have to spend a mother with all her children? Well, I believe in every vocation. I say, whatever you're doing, do it 100%. Whether you're married, single, celibate, whether you're radio, what, you know, if you put your whole heart into what you do, you'll get, and you're not, you know, myself. When you give to others in life, you receive 100-fold back.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.